This is a new verse, verse 62, from Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. And the title of this verse is The Supreme Sadhya and Sarana. Sadhya means prayojan or goal, and sarana means avideya, or the practices and activities that we do to attain our goal, which of course is Radha Krishna's prem seva in the Nikunjas of Vrindavan and everywhere. Now this is verse 62.
Lavanyamritavartayat jagaridham samplavayanti.
It's not like that. Lavanyamritavartayat jagaridham. I don't know exactly what it is. Samplavayanti sarad. Actually, this verse, this is too many words in a one line. Let me try this.
Lavanyamrita vartaya jagaridam samplavayanti sharad raka chandram anantam eva varana jyotsnabhir atanvati shri vrindavana kunja manja grihini kapyasti tucham maho kurvanakila sadhya sarana katam datva svad Dasyotsavam.
The translation.
Sri Radhika.
Who is Sri Radhika? Sri Radhika is the lovely queen of Vrindavan's bower houses. She's the kunja grihini. She makes all, that Radharani makes all spiritual goals, sadhya, and practices, sadhana, insignificant when she gives the great festival of her personal service. Sri Radhika floods the entire world with the news of her nectarian beauty, and her face shines like unlimited numbers of autumnal moons. Moons in autumn means Sharad Purnima. The second translation.
Radha completely inundates the universe with a graceful nectar of her charming words. Radha spreads the radiant beams of her effulgent face like millions of autumn's full moons. Aho! Some indescribable housewife of Sri Vrindavan's lovely sylvan bower houses, having bestowed the festival of her own service to me, Radharani thus makes all spiritual practices and goals useless and insignificant. So this translator is, of course, Radharani's not married to Krishna, and she's not a housewife by any means at all. But this translator, he translates the word grihini to mean housewife, because that term is there even in Hindi. The lady of the house, the homemaker, the housewife, the grihini. So griha means house, grihasta. I rather prefer the other translation, that she's the lovely queen of the bower houses. She's not a, because there's nothing mundane about the transcendental, alokic, unlimited spiritual names and forms and qualities of Srimati Radharani and her pastimes. And it gives a little different angle in the second translation. As I mentioned, and you can see that those words are there in the last line, Akila Sadhya Saranakatam. That the sadhana practices and goals, akila means all, akila, all of them. Whatever spiritual practices you can imagine, or whatever spiritual practices are available on the planet, and whatever goals there are to be attained by those practices, they all become insignificant. They become tuchavam. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam about how this sex attraction between man and woman is actually tuchavam, insignificant. Although in one sense it's the most significant power in the material world, but it says yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham, sukham tucham. It says the happiness of a married life is according to the view of the sages and rishis of the Bhagavat. They say that this maitun, or this combination of man and woman, is tuchavat. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. Same word, tucham. In other words, it's a big thing, but it's for some, the self-realized, for the pure devotees and the realized yogis, such a consummate attraction and compelling bondage between the man and woman of this world is tuchavat. Even the Sanskrit word is tuchavat. Tuch. When you have to say tuch, you have to tuch. Tuchavat means like tuch. Insignificant. Insignificant. Almost like you're like, ah. So that's called the pram drishtva nivartate. Krishna says in Gita, pram drishtva nivartate. Says, Vishaya vinivartante nirharasya dehana raso varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Krishna is saying Gita, Vishaya vinivartante raso varjam rasopyasya. When one serves Krishna with all of his mind and senses, heart, and talents and qualities, then he experiences rasa varjam. He experiences the great, unlimited, satisfying, blissful taste of rasa bhakti ras, the taste of devotion, the rasa of pure love and bliss by serving Radha and Krishna and Sri Guru and Vaishnavas. Raso varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That drishtva means drishti, means to see, darshan. He sees such a higher reality, such a supreme high reality beyond the flesh of this world, beyond the aspirations and desires of this world, beyond the art and goals of this world, dharmart kamoksh. Param jistva, that param jistva means he gets a param, a transcendental higher vision of the highest possible reality, prem dam vrindavan, and a madhurya mai seva, a madhurya purushottam Sri Krishna, a madhurya mai Sri Radha. So then, senses are fully under control. He becomes nivartate. He loses all interest in any other path. So this is Gita and the basic material attraction. But here, now we're coming into the transcendental realm. You're not interested in the Bhoga Marg. You're interested in Yog Marg and Yoga. Gyan Yog, Karma Yog, Bhakti Yog. And now you're doing some sadhana, some abhyas, some daily practices of meditation, asan, dhyan, meditation, or doing yajnas and pujas, or you're doing tapa, and you're doing swadhyaya, studying shastras, and studying Vedanta Sutra, and so much tapasya, and tirthyatra, many things, many types of sadhanas and practices. And they each lead to their particular specified goal, sadhya. But now, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Sripad, is saying from his param jistva, from his highest view of serving Radha Krishna in Vrindavan and Madhurya Bhav and Manjri Bhav, from this viewpoint, he's looking down, forget about the ordinary devotee who comes to nishta. If we just come to nishta, anartha nivritti nishta, if we, not just, it's not easy. I say, we just come to nishta. But if somehow by Guru's grace we actually have the qualities and attributes of anishtita bhakta, then we will experience so much bhakti, so much ras, so much flavor in bhava. Not bhakti ras as a byproduct of bhava and prema, but that taste of devotion, that steadiness, that satisfaction, the dhanana janana sundaram. So he's saying, Sripad is saying, param jasva, that he's having that high view. I'm serving the lotus feet of Radharani, Radha Govinda Yugal, and the kunjas of Vrindavan, and Manjri Bhav. And I'm experiencing, this is the best. This is the highest. This is the greatest. There's no better goal than this. This is it. Listen, everyone. I stand on top of the Himalayas with a huge speaker system, and I announce in all directions. This is the topmost goal attainable. This is the topmost sadhana. Forget about everything else. Here, chant, remember, serve. Radha and Krishna and Nitya Lila and Vrindavan. Astakalya Lila, Smarna, Manasi Seva. This is it. This is the puja. This is the archan. This is the vandanam. This is the prikama. This is everything. Just sit down and chant continually nam. Nam japan, continually do Lila Smaran, and continually do Manasik Seva to the lotus feet of Radha Govinda Yugal in Vrindavan. This is the topmost thing. So this is the first, this is the basic theme of the verse, is that the supreme sadhyan sadhana makes everything else tuchava maho. Aho means, as this translator here, he just says, he doesn't even translate aho, but aho means oh. And this translator, he says, this is amazing. He says, aho, aho. This word is there in Sanskrit, aho. And he says, aho, aho, aho means, oh, this is amazing. To become the servant of the Kunja Grihini Dasi. Kunja Grihini is Radharani, the lovely queen of Braj's sylvan bowers is a way of saying the forest bowers. Very beautiful. So there's some points here in this verse. Of course, what we find is the form of Radharani is being glorified. Radha Rupa Gun, the quality of her form, Radha Rupa Mahima. And her seva is being glorified. Basically, these are the two points. And her mercy, there's Radharani and her position, her identity as a Kunja Grihini Manju. Sri Vrindavana Kunja Manju Grihini. Manju Grihini, because it's modifying Grihini, means she's very lovely. Manju, Manju Lali Manjuri. She's a very lovely, charming, delightful queen of Vrindavan's bower houses. Sri Vrindavan Kunja Manju Grihini. So we'll discuss that. This is the third line. Sri Vrindavan Kunja Manju Grihini Kapyasti Tucham Maho. And we'll discuss. So here, Srimati Radhika is described and glorified. Her form, we're glorifying her form and activities in a particular place in Sri Vrindavan Kunjas, the Kunjas of Sri Vrindavan Dham. How are we glorifying her form? She's presenting a particular form there in the Kunjas, the form of a Grihini. So why is Radharani being called, in one sense, on a lower level, you can say Grihini means the housewife. The Griharani, the queen of the house, the housewife, homemaker. She makes, and we'll find out why. What is in the mind of Sripad? How is he seeing Radharani like this in his Manjari Sarup? He's having darshan of Radharani. He's sitting with Radharani in the kunja, and he's assisting her, and he's watching her. What's she doing there in the kunja? How is she behaving? How is she glancing and looking? What type of activities is she engaged in? What's she doing there? And seeing all that and assisting and taking part of all in all that, then Sripad in the Manjari mood and Sarup is seeing, yes, Radharani is exhibiting the qualities of a Grihini. How so? So Radhika is the lovely, charming queen of Vrindavan's sylvan bower houses. This is the meaning of that. So in Hindi, a housewife is called Griharani, the queen of the house, or Grihini. But Sri Radha is not Krishna's wife, and a kunja is not a house. A kunja is just a forest bedroom, forest bedroom for the most intimate conjugal pleasures. There's no dining room. Well, there's another place to eat, but so this is the context. It means that Radharani is Manju. She's Sri Vrindavan Kunja Manju. She's a Manju, not an ordinary Grihini. She's a transcendental lovely goddess, not a housewife. And it's not a house, it's not a Griha, it's a Kunja. It's called Kunja Griha. So if you live in a forest, then you're considered an Adivasi or a primitive or an aboriginal. And don't even have a house. You have some shack made of grass or whatever. Live under a tree. So this is really, you ask some grihastas in Russia or India or anywhere, yes, please move into the forest. Go into the deep, dark forest. And you live there as husband and wife. The husband will say, forget it. I don't like to wrestle tigers. And the wife will say, forget it. I don't want to dance with cobras. So there's no chance that there'd be any real griha in the middle of the forest. But for Manju Grihini, for the queen, that gentle, lovely, charming Radha, it's called a Kunja Grihini. So this is the context that Radha is Manju, a lovely, charming lady of the bowers. Of course, why Sripad Prabodh Ananda Saraswati, inspired and impelled by Saraswati, he's writing very particular here, and each word is chosen with great discrimination and great thought, exactly proper word, exactly proper poetry and everything. So he's saying Grihini. So why? What is the connection between a housewife and Radharani, the Kunja Grihini? So there is some connection. However, in this way, with the idea of a housewife, which we'll hear when the next Leela is described, which is very soon. So there's one phrase here in third line, Sri Vrindavana Kunja Manju Grihini, Kapyasti Tucham Maho, Manju Grihini. So here, as I mentioned, actually Radharani's Naam is glorified in this verse number 62. Her rupa, her form is glorified, the beauty of her form, transcendental form, and her leelas, her activities are glorified, and of course, her qualities. And then that's there on the transcendental level, then bringing down to us the Manjari Upasakas, worshippers of Manjari Bhav, pursuing the eternal service of Radharani as her handmaidens in the mood of Radha Dasya, Radha Sneha Adik. We are getting encouraged here that yes, this is not an ordinary sadhana that you're practicing. This is not an ordinary sadhya or goal that you're aspiring to attain. This is the most extraordinary sadhana and the most extraordinary goal of all spiritual possible attainments and goals and prayojans. In fact, if you compare this Raghunuga Marg in Madhurya Bhav, pursuing and meditating on and praying for and hankering for and hearing about and reading about the eternal loving service of Radha Govinda's lotus feet, Madhurya Bhav, especially emphasizing Radharani's seva, that's our life, you see here, oh, every other sadhana and every other sadhya is tuchavat. Tuchavat means like insignificant, means like there's a mustard seed and a sorso kabij, then there's Mount Meru. Mount Meru is some in the Vedas and the Bhagavat and the Puranas, in the cosmology of the universe, there's some place called Mount Meru. It's made of solid gold. And it's like 100 times taller than Mount Everest. The tallest mountain on this planet is Mount Everest in Tibet. You know, people climb there. And that's 36,000 feet, which means kilometers. That means ten kilometers high or something. It's 10 kilometers high. Mount Everest, 36,000 feet is like five, that's 7 miles. It's like about 10 kilometers, 10, 11 kilometers. And Mount Meru is... So the mustard seed in this comparison is all the other forms of sadhana and sadhya. And Mount Meru in this comparison is this Mandri Bhava Upasana in Raghunuga Bhakti. Get the idea now? That's what Tuchavat means. That's what Tuchavat. Like some in India, they have all these mudras and movements of the head to explain. Like if something is insignificant, you go like this. There's a mudra they do. Like you say, what about this? And they go, they go like this. And this mudra means, there's so many hand movements that mean different things. Like this or. You know, like that. So this, what about this? They go. Manju Grihini. By Srimati's grace, so this is a Nam, one of Radharani's names is Manju Grihini. She's the most charming, delightful queen or housewife of the Bower Houses. By Srimati's grace, Sripad sees another transcendental Leela before his love anointed eyes, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. What is that Leela? Radharani is in the Kunja, in Vrindavan forest. She's waiting for Krishna there in the Kunja. And she's very confident that Krishna will soon arrive. So, in that mood of confidence, in that mood of anticipation, in that mood of love, Radharani, with her own hands, she starts personally decorating her bower and her flower bed. The Mandris are also there. Sripad is there to help and to see. You may be there or see yourself there in your meditation, in your Mandri Sarup, along with your Guru Devi, or Guru Sakhi, as you may call, and or Tulsi Mandri, Das Goswami or Shiva Mandri, 2, 3, 4 Mandris there, and some Sakis possibly at this time. So Radharani's waiting. She's very in a very good mood. So Radharani is preparing with her own hand. She's preparing some delicious tambal, betel leaves, mixed with kaffir. And Sripad is watching this. The Mandri is watching Radharani, and he's seeing, oh, how is she moving? How is she looking? And how is her face? And she's carefully arranging everything so neatly and perfectly and arranging something, arranging the flower bed and decorating it, and then stepping back a little bit and looking at it. And are all the flower pillows exactly? Oh, no, let me adjust. Let me adjust this pillow and that. Oh, no, that's good. Krishna will put his head on this pillow, and I'll put my head on this pillow. So, and then all this table is there, and on this table there's a golden water jug inlaid with blue sapphires and pearls. And the handle is like this, and it's away from the bed. But maybe when we're in the flower bed, we want to drink some. Shama wants to drink some sweet water, fragrant water. So then I should turn the handle facing the bed so we can just, if you're in the bed, you can just like this. So that many thoughts. So Sripad is observing this, and he sees her because she's so careful, just like a lovely housewife, a Manju Grihini, is decorating the kunj with her loving hands. Radharani is decorating the kunj with her loving hands in a very charming way. And because it says here that Radha's mood is a particular bhav or mood at this time. It's called Nayaka bhav. Nayaka means heroine, hero and heroine. Nayaka, a Nayak. So she's a Nayaka. And this is one of the 8 different bhavas of a heroine. It's like Abhisarika, when you're going out to meet the beloved. Then there's Vasajika, And I think that's, yeah, that's what this one is. This is called Vasaka Sajika. This it's one of the eight Nayaka Bhavs. Vasaka Sajika. What does that mean? A Vasaka Sajika heroine. These eight types of Bhav refer to the lady, to the beloved, Radharani or Lalita or other Sakis that have Milan, this Surata Milan with Krishna. So this means a beloved who anxiously awaits the lover's arrival at the trysting place, means the waiting place, meeting place. So she's very anxious. So there's more description of Vasaka Sajika in Rupa Goswami Pad's Ujjala Nilamani. And we can read from that. This is in the chapter which deals with the heroines. It's called Nayaka Bhed, verse 43. Anagasi Priyatame Chirayat Yasuka Tuya Virahot Kantita Viraha Kantita Bhava Vedibi Sa Samirita Asyastu Cheshta Rittapo Vipatur Hetu Tarkanam Aratir Vaspa Mokshascha Savashta Katana Adaya. A translation, Rupa Goswami. When the innocent lover, this means Krishna, does not show up for a long time, the Anagasi Priyatame, Chirat, like they have that verse, Anarpita Chiram, Charicharam. Lord Chaitanya hasn't come for a long time to give him this. So it's Chirayat. He's late. Then Utsuka. Then the heroine becomes Vira Utkantita. She becomes very anxious and impatient in her separation. Utsuka Tuya Virahot Vira Utkantita Bhav. So she becomes, her mood is like, well, she's waiting Vasaka Sajika, and she's waiting. Now, it's so long, he's not coming. And then she becomes anxious, and she becomes very eager and hankering and feeling that separation. Well, he's not coming, or maybe something happened. So this is what is happening. So when an innocent lover doesn't show up for a long time, the heroine becomes very anxious and impatient. She feels, and her heart, she feels some heartache, and she starts shivering, and she starts speculating and guessing, why isn't he coming? And then she starts to feel nauseous and sick, and she starts crying tears, streams of tears. And then she tells her girlfriends about her feelings. She reveals her mind and confidence and love. This is a Guyam Akyati Prichyati, Nectar of Instruction, verse 4, Nadati Pratigrinati. So this is, this Leela is going on. Radharani is the Kunja Grihini, Kunja Manju Grihini. And she's made everything very nice, just like a very attentive housewife. And this is a particular name of hers to describe her mood, her actions and activities in the kunja. Sri Vrindavana Kunja Manju Grihini. The second point, that's glorifying that particular name of Radharani. She's a Manju Grihini, a very charming, lovely queen of the forest bowers. It literally means housewife. Now there's something about Radharani's form. What does she look like at that time? And that's described in the next line. Sharadraka Chandram Anantameva Varana. Varana means face. Murli Varana. You must have heard a name for Krishna. Murli Varana. Varan. He who holds the Murli to his face. Murli Varan. So Radharani is described as Sharadraka Chandram Anantameva Varana. That Ananta means no end. This Jagadidam, Jagadidam Samplava. Samplava means to inundate, to flood. Jagadidam. Radharani's face, just like the when the full moon rises, when the full moon in Sharad season, it's very big. The full moon at that time is very close to the earth, very close to Vrindavan. It seems so full, so big. And then the whole planet, the whole of India and all of Vrindavan is bathing those brilliant, effulgent rays, cooling, soothing rays of the full moon, Sharad Purnima. So that in the poet and kavi, in Sanskrit kavi and natya and kavi and drama, there always this analogy is there, the Sharad Purnima. And the Maharas dance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rasa Panchadaya, Panchadhyaya, chapter 29 through 33, it says Sharadudasaye. It's the full moon night of the Sharad season, the autumn moon. That means August, end of August, September, like this, something like this, is after Krishna's birthday. So this is a very beautiful. So now Radharani's face is compared to Sharad Raka Chandra Manantam Eva Varuna. The Jyotsni. Jyotsni means radiance, effulgence, the Jyoti. Jyotsnibir says that it's Atanvati. That the effulgence, the one moon illuminates the earth planet. The rays of the moon, they fall upon the earth planet and they bathe all the people and plants there with the beautiful rays of the moon, the Chandra. But Radharani, that's one moon. Radharani's the orb of Radharani's beautiful Chandramukhi Vadan, her moon-like face, it Atanvati Jyotsni. The effulgence and radiance of Radharani's face spreads not only all over Vrindavan, not only throughout all the kunjas of Vrindavan, but throughout all the universes. It Jagadidam Samplavayanti. And that face is not one moon, but it's Sharad Raka Chandram Anantam. Sharad Chandram Anantam Eva Varuna. It's Anantam, like Ananta Nam, Ananta Gun. Unlimited, there's unlimited millions and millions of moons. You can't even count the number of moons compressed and concentrated in Radharani's beautiful Sundara Varuna. And what is the effect? What is the prabhava of that Jyotsni? That radiance? The entire universe, what to speak of Vrindavan, what to speak of the earth planet, the entire universe, Bhurbhuvasva, is Samplavanat. Samplavanat means completely inundated and flooded with the light of her face, which means the light of her love. The light of Radharani's face is the light of her heart, and the light of her heart is that Mahabhav, that Divyonmad Mahabhav. So Radharani's Mahabhav, that Mahabhav Jyoti, Divyonmad, Divya, says Divya. Divya means light. Divyonmad. It's unmad, it's transcendental, Divya, spiritual. And Divya means playful, and Divya means brilliant. Divya means that light, that brilliant light of Radharani's unlimited ocean of Mahabhav in her heart, is illuminating her face, and from there, casting and spreading its rays all over the universe to flood the entire universe in her beautiful radiance. The Sundari and beauty of Radharani, Manjugrihini Radha, and to inundate the entire universe with the purity of her transcendental love for Krishna. There's nothing more pure, nothing more attractive, and nothing more satisfying than the loving service and prema of Srimati Radharani. No one has greater Krishna prema than Radha. So we're aspiring to serve Radha. So this is describing Radharani's form. Radha's universally attractive, radiant. Radha's universally attractive, radiant nectar beauty. So that's why he says, Lavanya, Lavanya Amritavartaya, Lavanya. Because this word, Lavanya, it's everywhere you see this word when they're describing beauty, Lavanya, and many places in Radharasudaniti and other rasic books of the Acharyas, Lavanya. Lavanya is a, it's as it says here, it's a pearl-like splendor. Like you may have a white gem called moonstone. It's a gem. It's white, kind of milky white. It's called moonstone. And all, there's rubies and sapphires and diamonds. So a diamond, of course, is clear, like glass. It's shiny. But moonstone is opaque. It's kind of white and radiant. Now, pearl, if you see, like you buy imitation, like poor people, they buy pearl necklaces. They're made of white, little white plastic balls. And they put it on, and from it, and they feel, okay, I'm poor, but I have to dress like this. I'm a married lady. So they put some nice necklace on to look attractive and pleasing to their husband and family members. It looks very nice, and they're poor. But if you the quality of that plastic imitation pearl is it's white and it's round, but there's no lavanya, and there's no radiance. It's clear by the weight of it. First of all, it's very light. So pearl, of course, is concentrated and heavy. It has a heavy weight to it, real pearls. And there's a natural radiance that comes out of the pearl, just a natural radiance. It's very, it's like a, it's almost like a pearl is almost like a little full moon. It's like a little full moon, you know. It's it gives a, it's a kind of, pearls are cooling. Like when you have a hot head, when you have a hot head and your mind is too overheated, then the Jyotishi gives you a silver ring with a big pearl in it. Says, put it here, cool down your brain. This is the moon finger, you know. So there's too much heat in your brain, then you get a little cracked. So they give you a white pearl to kind of make you, okay. This is gem therapy. Cracked means crazy. So this pearl, if you've seen, has such a just a soothing, attractive radiance, and that's called Lavanya. So this word Lavanya is used to describe especially Radharani's beauty. Here it says Lavanya. It's not her beauty, her face, her form, her transcendental divine body is not only Lavanya, extremely radiant, but it's Amritam. It's full of nectar, the nectar of Prema, Premamrit, this Mahabhava Premamrit. So she's described here as Lavanya Amrita Vartaya. That what is, and then her Amrit, her words, and here's the description here. Lavanya is a special, this is breaking news that Radharani's universally attractive radiant nectar beauty is flooding and inundating the entire universe, especially the universe within the hearts of the devotees, especially the universe within the hearts of our aspiring servants. Because the devotees in Ragmarg, they're always meditating on Radharani's form and Krishna's form, and the form of the Sakis and Mandris, and their own divine form, and their Guru Devi's form, and Param Guru, etc., Nyuteshri. So this Rup Dhyan, to meditate on the form of the one's own desired form, or the form of one's beloved associates, and in this case, Radha and Krishna, the Sakis. This is part of Bhakti Bhajan. Rupa Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti wrote one small book, Rupa Dhyan, it's called Dhyan Chintamani or something like that, Dhyan Amrita Chintamani. Rupa Chintamani, I think so, where it describes how to meditate on the form of Krishna and the form of Radharani, and very detailed, minute descriptions of their transcendental spiritual bodies, and a very nice guided meditation, step by step, while chanting japa. book has been excerpted and many other ideas and collections are collected in one book called Radha Govinda Meditations, Lotus Form and Lotus Feet, which we published. Radha Govinda Meditations. It's a very nice, little small book. Krishna's feet are there and Radha's feet and like that. Very nice. Meditating on the different symbols and marks on their feet and what they mean, plus the meditating on the entire body. That's there. So here it's describing Radharani's form. Lavanyamrita Vartaya Jagaridam Samplavayanti Samplavayanti Shadraka Chandramanantam Eva Varuna Jyotsnavir Atanvati. So these first two lines are basically describing Radharani's her form, which we already described her name. Here, what's the name of Radharani? Oh, she's Vrindavan Kunja Manjugrihini. She's Manjugrihini. Manjugrihini, yeah. She's a lovely goddess, lovely housewife like goddess of the bowers of Vrindavan. Very charming. So this is all about her Lavanya. So this is, as I mentioned, Lavanya is a special word often used by our rasic kavis like Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam, etc., and of course Prabodhananda Saraswati, to describe the unique and matchless sweet beauty of Radha or Krishna. In Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami Pad defines the word Lavanya as this. Lavanya is a natural luster that radiates from the bodily limbs like the shining from within pearls. Often we say, oh, he was shining with the luster of youth, or she was shining with the luster of youth. In other words, when you're young and healthy and growing, then you're naturally bright-faced, and I don't know about all your arms and feet and everything, but certainly the face is noticeably bright when you're young. And when you get old, you get dull, less radiant. And then when you're dead, you're not radiant at all. So when the Atma leaves the body, there's no shine, there's no gleam, there's no radiance, there's not a speck of Lavanya. When the soul leaves the body, it becomes dark, even becomes dark in color. But Radharani's transcendental divine spiritual form is Lavanya from her head to her toe. Her arms and feet and hands are all radiant with a soothing, beautiful nectarian Lavanya Amritam. It's not only beautiful to behold, she's not only beautiful to behold, but just to see Radharani's beauty and to see with the eyes of the heart and the eyes of Prem. When one sees that beauty, he feels very soothed. He feels very soothed and calmed and relaxed and rejuvenated like a tonic. He feels completely refreshed. If someone meditates on the form of Krishna, even a sadhaka, and not even a very advanced sadhaka, but a beginning sadhaka who meditates deeply on the form of Radha and Krishna, as described in the Shastras, as I have mentioned, or even on the form of Radha and Krishna appearing before him as his personal Thakur Rani and Thakurji, or your favorite Priya Thakur of Vrindavan, you may favor Radha Raman, and or Radha Shyam Sundar, Banki Bihari, etc. So any of this type of meditation on the divine transcendental forms of Radha Govinda, Radharani, and Krishna, and you deeply meditate from the smiling face. You can begin at the feet, as generally is told, meditate on the feet to the head. Very interestingly enough, Vishnu Chakravarti describes meditation beginning with the smiling face, which is mentioned in our book, which is unlike anywhere in other shastras. Generally, everywhere meditation, it's says Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam, that we meditate on the lotus feet of Vishnu. Throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's someone's meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. And generally meditation starts there. But Vishnu Chakravarti, rasik jana that he is, he says, he starts off describing a step-by-step guided meditation, which is in this book, Radha Govinda Meditations, Lotus Feet and Form. He says, now concentrate all your attention, your full mind and heart on the form of Radharani. Now fix in your mind, now and forevermore, the beautiful, delightful, charming, smiling face of Radhika. So then one is step by step, like first you put two cups of flour, then you add a little bit of water to make a dough, then a little bit of salt. And you step by step, then you learn, you make bread. So this is, if you're beginning cook, a step by step meditation. So when one does this, when a sadhaka does this, and even he says, Vishnu Chakravartipad, he gives it a false shruti. Shruti, you're reading my meditation guide, and I'm going to give you a phal, a fruit, a benefit, a boon, a blessing. If you go through this meditation three times in a row, from point one to point to the last point, if you go through three times, you'll feel blissful because you'll actually have a darshan of Radha and Krishna. So that's his offer. And then the proof of the proof positive is our own experiment or our own following it. So what we find is that if someone does this, they actually can experience something of Radharani or Krishna's Lavanya, and they feel extremely joyful, as though they're seeing Radharani and Krishna in their meditative, with their mental eye in the depths of their meditation. When one closes his eyes to meditate, generally he sees the darkness of his eyelids. Right? Close your eyes. It's just, what is it? It's just black, blank. But when we mix devotion and we mix abhyas, bhakti and abhyas, devotion and abhyas means practice, and kripa, Vaishnava kripa, Guru kripa, and the Mahajans of the books we're reading, when you mix the bhakti with the kripa and the abhyas practice into your eyes when you're doing such a meditation, then when you close your eyes, you'll see black for some time, and then as you concentrate more and more, then you actually see your Thakurji or your Thakurani with your eyes closed. Anyone who seriously practices this will have that experience. Not that you're sitting in front of the deities and you close your eyes and meditate on them and then see them, open your eyes and see them. That's also good practice. But in your own kutir, in your own room, or sitting on the banks of Radhakund, looking at Radharani and meditating on your favorite Radharani. Now, these are the nice instructions of our acharyas, because they want us all to attain perfection. So they're guiding us in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Dhyan, meditation. A very big interest in meditation these days. Lots of people are renewed interest in yoga and meditation. That's certainly a very essential and important part of Bhakti Bhajan, is meditation. For everyone, not only the siddhas, but even the beginners and everyone. So this is the Radha's universally attractive, radiant nectar beauty, her lavanya. Lavanya amritam vartaya, jagaridam samplavayanti. So that natural radiance. So earlier in this book, this is verse 62, but as I mentioned, this is a common word. Sripad, in verse 18, he says, Lavanya Sindhu. He's talking about Lavanya Sindhu, which means an ocean Lavanya. So there, in that particular verse of Radharas Sudaniti, verse 18, he glorifies Radharani's transcendental divine form by saying, not only Radharani's vadan, her face, but Radharani's entire divine form is an ocean of Lavanya. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, I said this is a very common word in our scriptures. And Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter 44, verse 14, Sri Krishna is described as Lavanya Saram Asamordvam. Asamordvam. Sometimes when we're speaking about Krishna Bhagavat Tattva or Krishna Tattva, the subject about the greatness and glories and identity and position of Bhagavan or God, Bhagavat Tattva, Krishna Tattva, then we say God is great. God is the supreme controller. He's the supreme enjoyer. He's the supreme creator. God is all-pervading. God is everywhere. So then this Sanskrit adjective is also used to describe God. Asam Urdva. Sama, maybe you know some Hindi. Sama means equal. And Urdva, like we say, Urdva Pandra. Tilak is called Pundra. Pundra is called is the tilak, and urdva means up, urdva, like we say in Hindi, uto, get up, uto, urdva. So Krishna is asam urdva, which means no one, no deva, no Shiva, Brahma, anyone, no one is asama, no one's equal to Krishna, and no one's greater than Krishna. You must have heard this term and listening in Prabhupada's lectures and other gurus. Krishna's asamordva. So that word is here, but it's in relation to Krishna's beauty, his lavanya, in 10:44:14. Lavanya saram asamordvam. That the lavanya, Krishna's radiant, attractive bodily beauty and bodily effulgence, is lavanya, and it's saram, it's the essence of all possible conceivable lavanyas, and there's no equal to Krishna, not no one above Krishna. So no luster or radiance is equal or higher than Krishna's. Krishna's asamordva quality applies only to other purusha forms of Bhagavan. So Krishna has that. Because Radharani is not only, but Radharani is described in this verse 18 by Prabhupada Saraswati as Lavanya Sara. So Krishna is called Lavanya Sara, but then Radharani is also called Lavanya Sara. So Radharani is not only Lavanya Sara, because this verse says Krishna is Lavanya Sara Asamordvam. So Radharani is also described as Lavanya Sara. Sara, Lavanya Sara. She's the essence of Lavanya. Sweet, soothing, beautiful, charming radiance. But Radharani is not only the essence, but she's a Lavanya Sindhu. She's an ocean. You're more radiant. Krishna is more radiant than any other forms of Purusha, any other forms of Bhagavan. So radiant. But Radharani is Lavanya Sindhu. She's a whole ocean, unlimited ocean. And just one part of her body is so much Lavanya, her vadan, face, that one part of her ocean of Lavanya, of her entire transcendental beautiful form, only one part, her beautiful Chandramukhi, is flooding the entire universe with radiance. It says, Jagaridam samplavayanti jyotsnibir, vadana jyotsnibi. That's a lot of Lavanya. So this Radharani, she's an ocean Lavanya Sindhu. She's made of nectar, which inundates the entire universe. That's Radharani's entire divine form is an ocean of lavanya. Her feet are lavanya. Her navel is lavanya. Her face, her elbows are lavanya. Everything. The back of her hand is everything. So now Bilva Mangala Thakur, he's telling in Krishna Karnamrita, he's also this word, because these great rasic Vaishnavas, they have darshan in with their prem drishti. Bilva Mangala was a premi, and our acharyas are premi bhaktas, siddha purushas. So in their depths of prem samadhi and having lila sportis and directly seeing the lilas and forms of Radha and Krishna, they come out and they're trying to describe what they've seen. Once Bilva Mangala Thakur had darshan of Krishna many times, but after he was seeing Krishna and he was completely chamatkar, ascharya, completely overwhelmed, and was wonderful, amazed. He was amazed, ascharya. And then he came out and he said, I have to tell the world. I have to write a poem. I have to write some beautiful poem to describe what I've seen. So his hand starts writing in Sanskrit. Madharam, he wrote down, yes, it was very sweet. What I saw was very sweet, Madharam. And what else did I experience? And it was very, very sweet. And Madharam. And he wrote Madharam again. And then he tried to recapture what that vision, that darshan. Oh, it was really sweet. Madharam, Madharam, Madharam. And then he thought again what he saw. Then he wrote, so then the first line, then he couldn't write anything. It's like, he's like stuttered, blah, 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 you know, like this, like if someone sees something very beautiful. So Radharani's lavanya, her incredible beauty, we're submerging our ears and hearing about the sweet, amazing beauty of Radharani. As I mentioned, if we sincerely practice meditating on Radharani's form, we will see some of that lavanya. We'll see a certain radiance. And even in the Yoga Sutras, when they describe meditation, if one is doing impersonal meditation, they say to meditate on light or to meditate on the light of consciousness, or different things they have in the impersonal conception. So once meditating, one will see light. Light will start to flood his mind. A certain radiance he'll see. And there's whole other things they describe. But in our experience as bhaktas, meditating in the form of Radha and Krishna, we'll see this lavanya. We'll see this radiance of Radha and Krishna. So this lavanya is described by Bilva Mangala Thakur of Radharani's, or that's actually, he says, Lavanya Amrita Vichi Lolita Disham. Krishna's eyes billow on the waves of Radha's nectarine lavanya. Krishna becomes intoxicated by seeing Radha's lavanya, and Radha's maidservants become intoxicated by seeing Krishna becoming overwhelmed by their Swamini's incomparable beauty. Because our angle, just like the queen in the palace, she has so many dasis, rani dasis, or maidservants, and they're serving her in every possible way. So they're always thinking of the queen. And the king may have some young men or some boys that serve him or whatever. But their focus is always on the queen. So the mantris, their angle, their bhav, they're like how Radharani feels, they feel. What Radharani wants, they want. And of course they serve Krishna with Radharani together. But they feel very happy. They say, oh, our Radharani, because they don't have a separate identity. Oh, Radharani has her ego or her identity and her beauty. And, oh, I have mine. There's no bade. There's no bade. It's difference. Manjari is different from Radharani. But she identifies, if Radharani's happy, I'm happy. If Radharani's unhappy, I'm unhappy. So there's so much oneness in their hearts and minds. So so Radharani is observing that Krishna is seeing how beautiful I am and seeing my lavanya now that he's finally come to the kunja. And he's becoming overwhelmed from this viewpoint of Bilva Mangala Thakur. Lavanya Amrita Vichi Lalita Disham. that Krishna's eyes are Lolita. Disha means seeing. Lolita means like dolana, a swing. Hindola. Hindola means swing. We say julan, hindola. Vichi Lolita. Krishna's eyes are billowing or rolling on the waves of the Radha's nectarine lavanya. And he becomes intoxicated by seeing Radharani's beautiful radiance. And then Radharani's maidservants are looking at Krishna. They're seeing, of course, they're always observing Radha and Krishna. And they're seeing, oh, Radharani looks so beautiful. And then Krishna's looking at her and he's becoming intoxicated. And then they feel very proud and they feel overwhelmed themselves. The Mandris, they see, oh, they feel, they become intoxicating seeing how Krishna's overwhelmed by the incomparable beauty of their Swamini. So Radhika's, we remember Radhika's sitting in the bower house as this Sri Vrindavan Kunja Manju Grihini. She's waiting for Krishna. She's a Vasaka Sajika. She's a heroine waiting for Krishna. A wonderful luster or glow gushes from her beautiful form. And the news of this nectar is inundating the entire world. That's what we heard. So you can imagine, Krishna is also in this world, and he will also become inundated by that effulgence of Radharani's lavanya. As Radha floods the universe with the lovely radiance of her beautiful form, lavanyamrita jagat samplavat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we shift to Gaur-lila, he accepted the bhav and kanti of Radharani. Bhav means her mahabhav, her intense loving mood towards Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna wanting to understand or experience and taste and relish Radharani's heart and love and seva and bhav, and he assumed her form. Kanti means effulgence, a radiance or jyotshni. So the loving mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. And with that, Lord Chaitanya, Radharani is flooding the whole universe with the beauty of her lavanya amritam, samplavat. And Lord Chaitanya, he flooded the entire universe with the luster of Radharani's love of God. And this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one verse, I have to clear the reference, but I believe it's in Adi Lila, chapter 13, around verse 32. Nagare nagare brahme, nagare nagare brahme, kirtana kariya bashaila tribhuvan, prem bhakti diya. So nagare nagare brahme. Lord Gauranga, he wandered all over India from Nagar. Like this, Nagar means village or gram. And he wandered everywhere performing kirtan, kirtan kariya. Nagare nagare brahme kirtana kuriya basaila tribhuvana. And he submerged the tree, bhur bhuvaswa, the three worlds. He inundated diya, prema bhakti diya. He inundated the entire three worlds with prema bhakti. This is the astounding effect of Radha's lavanya. Radharani's kanti or effulgence floods the whole universe. As Radharani's lavanya floods the entire universe with the beauty of her form and figure, Lord Chaitanya's kanti means lavanya, Lord Chaitanya's kanti and Radha's kanti and bhav embodied in Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu flooded the entire universe by saila, kirtana kaliya by saila, prema bhakti diya. It flooded the entire universe in kirtan, and that kirtan is prem kirtan. You see, even today, everywhere around the planet, Earth, all the continents, people are diving into the ocean of Sankirtan and Harinam Sankirtan. Everywhere there's Kirtan festivals and Harinam Kirtan festivals. Everyone's drowning in those waves. So this is Radharani. So now Radharani's face is described here, the Vadana. Again, this is Radharani's form. So this is all. Verse is so much glorifying Radharani's form. So the rays emanating from Nagari Mani. Nagari Mani means the jewel-like of lady loves. Nagara means the male lover. And the romantic female, the jewel of all romantic females is the Nagaramani. Money means jewel. So Nagaramani's moonlike face spreads a luster as beautiful as innumerable autumn moons. And this is, of course, the divine light. The moon is ordinary light, the Sharad Chandram, but Radharani's Jyotsna is transcendental. It's not ordinary. It's divine, Divya Jyoti. And what is that light? The Acharyas are telling in this commentary here, which everyone can read. The Acharyas are telling this light of Radharani's face, this is the light of her love. The light of her love is illuminating the entire universe. And this is divine. Divya Jyoti means spiritual light. It's the light of Radharani's Anurag, which means intense, pure light. It's not material moonlight. The analogy is there is Sharad Raka Chandram, Samplavayanti. Like the moon, Radharani's beauty is flooding the universe. But unlike the moon, Radharani is Anantam. Ananta means unlimited. So when you talk about something unlimited, no end, then it must be spiritual. So the moonbeams have an end. They only shine in this universe, not every universe. Every universe has its own moon. We have our own moon, and every universe has a moon and sun. But it's limited. It shines. Full moon is only one day. The rest of the time, it's waning or waxing, diminishing or increasing the moon until it's no moon and then growing slowly. So Radharani's, Jyotsna of her Chandra Mukhi, of her beautiful face, is shining and glowing through all the universes from the beginning of time and from all length and breadth, all the universes. And that moonlight, that full moon of Radharani's face is always full and always anantam and always divine and transcendental and beautiful. And anyone who comes before Radharani, and has that, the full moonbeams of her face, falls on his eyes or her eyes, then he'll actually give up this attachment to this material world. If someone stands before Radharani, a very dear and beloved form of Radharani, either within his own house or her own house, or in his favorite mandir, and looks and feasts, it's called Nayanotsav. Nayanotsav, Nayan means eye. And Nayanabhiram, there's a name, Nayanabhiram. Nayanabhiram, Abhiram means very pleasing and satisfying eyes, eyes full of love, eyes full of love and care and bliss and joy, Abhiram, Nayanabhiram. So when Radharani's form, her beautiful face, the radiance of her face as we look, falls on our eyes, then we'll become totally full of detachment. There's so much beauty. If we actually look with... They say if you look at Radharani, if you take darshan of Radharani, her face especially, with the eyes of your heart, the wide open eyes of your surrendered heart, then you'll actually see something very special. You'll feel like, Radharani, what have I been doing? What have I been doing? So many lifetimes I've wasted and passed without serving you. And what have I been doing? My eyes have been looking at everything in this world except you. And what have I been doing? I've been doing everything but looking at you and praying for your service. So now I'm standing before you and I'm seeing you and you're seeing me. And I'm feeling that there's nothing else in life except your service. And there's nothing else I want in life except your service. So this is the only boon or ashirvad or blessing that I'm praying for. Many people come and stand before you, Radharani. Thousands and millions of people come every year and stand before you. And they pray for all kinds of things. Success in school, send me a husband, wife, money, health, etc. But I don't want anything. I only want, please bless me with your service, now and forever. I just want to become a particle of dust in your lotus feet as your eternal kinkari. Aye nanda tanusha kinkaram, patitam mam vishame bhavambudo,
Kripya tava parapankaja, stita duli sadrisham vichintya. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. I want to be seen, sadrisham, sadrisham. I want to be seen, sadrisham. For all time, stita duli sadrisham. Stita duli, duli means a particle of dust. Go duli, braja duli, kan kan. I want to be stita, fixed, lilastan, fixed, placed. I want to be placed and fixed on your lotus feet, stita duli sadrisham. And I want to be seen there, sadrisha, sat darshan. I want to be seen there forever. Which, in other words, like someone might say, I want to be seen forever with you. That's a way, that means I want to always be with you. So that's what's being said here. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. Vichintya. This is my very deep vichinta, my very deep consideration, my deepest thought, my deepest desire. Just fix me as a particle at your feet to serve you eternally. That's all I want. So if you pray like that and look at Radharani, how much lavanya, how much kripa, how much karuna will come into your heart and your eyes. You can see by going and trying to pray like this. So this is about Radharani's rupam, her face, so beautiful. This anantameva varana. Lavanyamrita vartaya jagaridam samplavayanti sharad raka chandram anantameva varana jyotsnibiratanvati. So all these beautiful Sanskrit words are all describing the transcendental, beautiful, divine form and effect of Srimati Radharani's lavanya and her beautiful face and form. It's universally, it affects the whole universe. And that lavanya is her prem. Lavanya amrita means her prem amrit, her karuna amrit, the nectar of her compassion, the nectar of her love. Lavanya amrita vartaya. And vartaya means the nectar of her words. That's why one translator says the words, it says the news. This news, vartaya jagadidam, this news is, this is the news. That's why I said this is the breaking news, because the word vartaya means words or news. This is the news. This is the good news for today, that Radharani's lavanya, her nectarine lavanya, is flooding the entire universe. This is the good news. It says here that Radharani completely inundates. The good news is that, here the translator is taking vartaya to mean words, that Radharani completely inundates the universe with the graceful nectar of her charming words. And that's also true. Lavanyamrita vartaya. So here he just says that he says she inundates the whole world with the news of her nectarine beauty. So one translator is taking Lavanyamrita to mean the nectar of her beauty, and vartaya is meaning news. Because the word vartaya means, this is the news. That's why I said this is the breaking news, that Radharani's beauty is illuminating, sweet nectarine beauty is illuminating the universe. Another translator takes it to mean Radharani's words. Radharani's very words. He says that vartaya means not news, but it means lavanyamrita. The news is being spread. Jagadidam, this news is flooding and being spread throughout the universe. What is that news? That Radharani's words, vartaya, Radharani's words are amrita. They're full of amrit and lavanya. They're full of radiance. And if anyone hears Radharani's words, they'll feel, oh, this is so nectarine, so sweet, so soothing, so satisfying. And then that's amrit. Then lavanya means illuminating, shining, brilliant. So if someone hears the words of Radharani, he'll feel so satisfied and pleased. And then the effect will be, he'll become illuminated. He'll become lavanya. He'll become radiant. He'll become effulgent. With what? With surrender and with submission and seva of Radharani and the love of Radharani. So how does one hear the words of Radharani? One hears the words of Radharani by hearing the words of Krishna, describing Radharani, hearing the words of Krishna, glorifying Radharani,
hearing the words of Radharani's servants glorifying Radharani, and then hearing the words of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because when Gauranga Mahaprabhu preaches or he speaks in Chaitanya Charitamrita or in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's speaking, Prabhu Kaha, Prabhu Kaha, Mahaprabhu said, and he's saying so many beautiful things. So this is the another way of looking at this description of Radharani's beauty, her lavanya. So tomorrow we'll discuss this idea of sadhya sadhana tuchavat. Akila sadhya sadhana tuchavat. All Akila means universe. All the other possible sadhanas and sadhyas are insignificant compared to serving the lotus feet of Radharani as and Bhavalas Rati as her Kinkari maidservant. So that's it for today. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Sha.